This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
And welcome to the Vedic Wisdom. Thank you for being with us today. So I want to talk to you today about why science denies the soul. There are several things that science denies. I guess we haven't got time for all of them, do we? Science is based on a material conception of life. Science is based on the laws of nature, on the material distinctions between different components and ingredients of the manifestation. Science takes a look at how did God do it, and how is it its relationships and functions working to sustain the material manifestation. There are people within science who say we're living in a hologram. We're living in an illusion. We're living in a temporary place. We're living in a mentally concocted reality. A host of speculative possibilities. And what happens when we get to the idea of the consciousness and the soul? Science runs into trouble because they have difficulty in showing you the item, the source of the consciousness and the reality that the soul exists as a separate thing. From that point of view, they go through a lot of different analysis, points of view, etc., etc. And basically, they're looking for a thing. And they believe that they should be able to locate it and find it. And since they can't, we can deny it. But let's take a look at the tools that they're using. They may have developed sophisticated devices, but they're all developed by their imperfect human brain. We all have imperfect senses. We have limitations on how far and what range in the spectrum of light we can see, or the spectrum of sound we can hear, or our capacity to vibrate at higher levels such that we're able to pass through semi-solid substances. I mean, let's be honest, our vibration rate is such right now that we are passing through air, another material element, without difficulty. Yet we have significantly more difficulty if we choose to move through water. And we have extreme difficulty if we choose to move through earth or earth derivatives, wood, cement, a concrete block, glass. So there's a vibratory relationship between all of these elements and all of the skills and capacities that we have. Our senses are blunt. They are not perfect. And anything we make with these blunt senses has a type of limitation inherent in it as well. So they believe that they have developed tools like they can see with a telescope, or they can see with a microscope, or they can hear with a variety of sensors or receivers, etc., etc., and they're able to work within a limited spectrum. A broader spectrum than our senses, but still a very limited spectrum. So they come forward and say, okay, we've dissected many, 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 many human bodies, and we haven't found a soul yet. Therefore, it must not be there. But they can't deny that when the soul is gone from the body, it's called death. And they can't deny that the body is changing. I am the same person, but my body is no longer a baby body or a boy body, or a young man's body. It's a mature body. It's a man's body. Everybody goes through it. But the soul, my conscious self, is witnessing these changes. I can remember being a small child. I can remember my younger years, if you call it that. I can remember yesterday. So there is a capacity of the soul to store information in the brain such that the soul has a recollection relative to the duration of a body. But as soon as the soul leaves the body, all of that ends. The memory, the ability to store memory, the recall system it's all relative to the physical vessel known as the body. They sit back and say, well, there can't be a soul because we can't find it. But science has admitted that the blood is energized. The red corpuscles of the blood is energized at the heart. And with the significant vibration rate of the red corpuscles in the blood, consciousness permeates the whole body. They understand that much. But they don't understand what is energizing the blood. They say that the heart is the seat of life in the body. And that's true. But what is really seated in the heart is the living entity, the eternal atomic part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, is situated in the heart. In the Vedic literature, it's described in the Bhagavad Gita. It's described in detail that the Lord is in the heart with the living entity. You're able to have conscious perception throughout the entire portion of your body. You can sense in one portion of your body or the entire body. You're able to do this sensation. They can't see it with the most powerful microscope. And so they're concerned that it must not exist. But the Vedic literature says, oh yes, it exists. The problem is, it is very small. Now the Vedic literature says that if you divide the upper portion of a hair, not the thick end that attached to the body, but the tip of a hair, you divide it into 100 parts, and then you divide that each one of those into 100 more parts. That 1/10,000th the size of the tip of a hair is the size of the living entity, you and me. That is how small the spiritual spark is that is energizing these bodies. So all of the bodies, animal body, bird, fish body, tree body, any body that is living and going through the growth, transformation, and consciousness is empowered and energized by that small spark. That small spark is you. The eternal living entity, eternal part and parcel of the Lord, separated to have an individual existence eternally. Now, science is going, we can't prove that. Science says we can't even find that 1/10,000th part. We can't see it. If we can't see it, it can't be there. And we can't believe that something that small could be so potent as to drive, energize, and maintain a material body. There are huge material bodies. Elephants are huge. Whales are huge. It's, as we all say, the earth is a living thing. That means it has a soul. So the same size particle of spiritual spark that is manifest in you or me or a tiny, tiny, tiny spider is also the same size that is maintaining, energizing this planet, the planets. Because these are all material bodies. So from the point of view of our existence, you can see why the Vedic literature says our biggest problem is misidentifying the body as the self. The body is the car, the vessel, the vehicle for our experiencing. But the self is actually the atomic particle, the spirit, soul, part and parcel of the Lord. So science has got a problem. They can't find it. They can't measure it or see it or move it or control it or accept that it's so powerful that it can do all the things that you and I are able to manifest through our bodies. Man is able to do astonishing different things. And they can't believe that it's possible for a tiny, tiny, tiny spark of spiritual energy eternal spiritual energy at that, to energize and manifest all of these activities. And because of that, they then deny the existence of the soul. And following that, they say, well, we can also deny the existence of God. And this is faulty science. This is not real science. This is pseudo-science. Because the Vedic literature is described as the science of the soul, the science of self-realization. So there's a very big difference between accepting and learning from the platform that I am the eternal living entity, not the body, and the scientific concept that all we have is the body. We don't believe that a soul exists, even though we know something leaves the body at death. So the Vedic literature says this scientific understanding is so blunt and so limited that it restricts you and I as living entities from becoming self-realized souls. To surrender to science and say God is dead and the soul doesn't exist and I can do anything I want, there'll be no ramification, and that I'm not eternal, I won't be held responsible in my next life for what I do in this life, is all ignorance propagated by scientists who've not taken the time to read the Vedic literature and then proved it to themselves. This is the grace of the science of self-realization, is once you hear it, you can prove it. Until you hear it, it's speculation. You don't know. The Vedic literature has been around since the manifestation began, and it's been covered, studied, and documented immensely for centuries about the characteristics, qualities, duration of life, potencies, etc. of a living entity, and similarly the potencies, the eternal qualities, name, form, pastimes, and activities of the Supreme Lord. They're all documented in the Vedic literature because we all deserve to know the truth. The Lord is not negating that. He's just not interfering. Just as we said the living entity is living within the heart, similarly the Vedic literature teaches us that the expansion of the Lord, known as the Supersoul, accompanies us as friend and is watching, witnessing from within the heart everything you think and feel and will and do, so that you get the karma, the results, the just results. You do good, you get good. You do bad, you get bad. No interference. And similarly, the Lord is not talking, he's witnessing. But if you understand by reading the Vedic literature, and you inquire and you concentrate, a little bit of meditation, if you will, you can understand and you can perceive the Lord's presence. And when you do, and you begin to communicate with the Lord can then, will then, expose to you his presence and give you guidance and support and take care of you. But if you want to live in denial that the Lord exists, or the Lord is there in your heart with you, he allows it. So that you're able to act, to think, to do, to feel, to experience without a significant concern or conscience. Without feeling, somebody's watching. Without interference. But when you realize all these activities are simply a waste of time, because they're temporary activities, and I'm an eternal being, I want eternal happiness, these temporary things can't bring eternal happiness, Lord, you are here somewhere in my heart with me, please make yourself known, and let me inquire from you about my real situation. Now, not everybody's going to come to that. So the Lord actually physically manifests in the material world and teaches Bhagavad Gita as it is. And in Bhagavad Gita, he discusses these subjects, including why the scientists are fooled. And he gives you the understanding that the Supersoul is there, and he will guide you, he will answer you, he will help you. Similarly, he manifests on the outside as the spiritual master. He brings a chain of spiritual masters into the material manifestation, and they all are realized souls and can answer the questions, just like the Vedic literature, Bhagavad Gita, just like the Lord personally, just like the Lord in his person of super soul within your heart. It stated the spiritual master, the spiritual disciple, and the Vedic literatures always agree. The Lord is known as the original spiritual master, and he teaches certain individuals to become bona fide spiritual masters and teach many, 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 many more living entities, all living entities who will inquire without taking away your independence. So we were given free will. We were meant to be free in this material manifestation. And we wake up to why we are created and what is the goal of this manifestation and our independence and use it correctly, we become servants of God. We become fulfilled. We become students of Bhagavad Gita. And through time and through inquiry, all of the answers are given. There is no restriction. There's no, oh, you have to do this and you can't do that to know. No, you have an inquisitive quest for the truth. You will get the answers. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. When the truth is inquired, the answer will arrive. So you have the opportunity as an individual at any time in your existence to inquire about the origins of yourself, to inquire about why you exist, why you want permanent eternal happiness. There's no restriction. It's just whether you desire it or not, because it does not take away your independence. So science is fooled because they see so many living entities not working on that subject, they think there's nothing to learn there. But of those who do inquire and are seeking out the truth and understanding and proper perspective, they don't care about the scientists. They know that the scientists are as much an illusion as any other living species. And to try to change them has no merit. We can educate them, teach them, read the Bhagavad Gita. But generally, they won't do it, generally speaking. Because the living entity is so small, and because the bodies are what we're actually interacting with and we perceive to be us, the scientists accept their body as themselves and look upon your body as you, and do their research, study, evaluation, and reports from the bodily concept of life. And from a spiritual perspective, they are totally useless. Yet we have a society that's being propagated in television and education that science is so important. Well, the only science that is important is the science of self-realization, the science of the soul, the science of God. That is the Vedic literature. That is the Vedic science. So if you've not read the Vedic literature, you haven't even entered the game. Irrespective of all the material things that there are, anything that could be known, any other subject you may want to perfect it in, anything of that variety, all of that stuff is not even in the game. The human form of life is the opportunity to get outside of the bodily concept of life and get into studying and understanding your true identity through the science of the soul, science of self-realization. If you haven't come to that, you're not awake yet. You're not using your human form of life as it was intended. We've discussed before, anything material and temporary and full of ignorance has no permanent value. And anything that is spiritual, eternal, and full of knowledge is what you should be looking for, is what is of value and reward for you. So in a society, we're all influenced by our association. And we look at the quality of association we have here, and it's poor. It's all based on selfishness and bodily concept of life and is negating the primary, principle, basic facts of knowledge and self-realization. So, what is the result? the eternal living entity in the body that's trying to find the answer, who's struggling to get out of illusion and misconception, is in anxiety because of not being connected to that eternal platform that fulfills him. And this is true of all of us. If we're all eternal living entities, all want eternal happiness. If we can't find that eternal happiness, then we become frustrated. Types of anxieties show themselves. So we're in a situation where we have to control the mind from distracting our purpose. And we have to avoid the materialistic conception of life that everyone is pumping back and forth and back and forth, giving us false goals and objectives of life. And refocus under the instructions of the spiritual master, as given in the Bhagavad Gita, and recognize some simple, basic facts. Anything temporary is not really useful to our quest. And anything spiritual will gradually assist us in our quest. To revive our spiritual consciousness is the game. It's not that you don't have a spiritual consciousness. It's covered by the body. Our relationship with God is there. It exists right here, right now, everybody, all the time. But we aren't able to awaken it or act in that consciousness because the body's in the way. The body is distracting us. The senses, the mind, the tongue, the genitals, everything is distracting us. And so we lose the opportunity and we can fall into the lower species of life. There are so many people who don't grow. They get a human form of life, good on you, and they try to achieve something in the material conception. Boops. You're supposed to get a human form of life and then function in the spiritual perspective of life. That is where the reward comes. That's where the solution comes. That's where the removal of the anxiety comes. Well, all of the sciences, all of the interactions and education, knowledge, information that we have to deal with that's propagated by the scientists is on the material platform. It does not help by constitution, by construction. It cannot help. It's the wrong subject. You go to a university, the highest form of education we perceive. You go to this great university and say, teach me about my soul. And there's no class. There's no professor. It's not given. There's not a realized soul at the university to teach a class in realization. You can go learn about all sorts of material things, everything you can imagine. And so why do they pick those things up? Because they don't know the real science and they can't deliver it. So the universities are starting to wobble. People are like, I don't want to go to university. I don't care. I'll go to the school of hard knocks before I go to the university. I don't want to sit there and do book learning. I want to get out and experience, do, feel, touch, try myself personally. And that has merit only to a degree. The Vedic literature says there is two methods of learning. One is by experiencing and the other is by hearing. And the chain of spiritual masters recommends the hearing process. It's more direct. The issue is identifying the authority to hear from. Everybody can say, oh, well, Joe's pretty smart. Oh, well, I met a guy one day, he was really, really cool. Well, this lady, she says some really neat things. But that's not enough. They have to have the authority that this is the structured explanation of what's actually going on and how it's done, how it's going on, what is your situation, why are you here, what is your perfection. All of that has to be known, not speculated, known. And that is descending spiritual knowledge. It's not something you can accumulate by speculating. It's not something you can go out and experience. So the Vedic literature and the spiritual masters says, no, listen from a realized soul. Inquire from him. Render some simple service and show your humility and inquire from him. He can impart the truth to you because he knows it. He's been taught by the higher authority. And that's what we all need, and that's where we all end up finding success, is listening to the higher authority. Higher authority is not the scientist. Higher authority is the bona fide spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the author of Bhagavad Gita as it is, unadulterated spiritual knowledge for your benefit. This is the secret. This is how to avoid the pitfalls of the fools they call scientists.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.